Hello, everybody. Welcome to Spiritual Graffiti Podcast. Thank you for listening to me and Ruby. Please like, comment, share, follow, do all those things. Do your thing. Help us grow. Thanks for listening. Love you guys. Hello, everybody. We're back.
Hello.
Spiritual Graffiti. I'm here with Ruby and our friend Kristen Hansen.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, welcome back to the pod.
Yay, yeah. Glad to be back, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
How's it going? What should we start talking with?
Yeah, I feel like we could talk about anything.
Well, before the podcast, me and Kristen were doing like this energy work that I've been kind of working on recently with like more intimate energy, with Archangel Michael. And we were just talking about like how, like I was comparing it to like yoga in a sense, like when I used to do like hot yoga, I feel like you get so in tune with your body from like stretching and sweating and like being more mm-hmm. aware of your body, you start to like, you know, pay attention to what you're eating because you start to feel the influences of eating like certain foods, pizza, you know, like that. And I was saying how like, you know, when you start to really become in tune with your body, you notice like the subtle differences that things kind of influence. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of comparing that to the energy work, working with your sexual energy. It's like you start to be more and more aware of like what's influencing you in that way. You know,
yeah.
Like, and like the subtleties, like how much, you know, sexual stimulation there is in social media. And like, you know, I think our brains aren't meant to deal with all that shit.
Well, I think like you have your sacral chakra, your root, like I don't know. I was reading something the other day and it was talking about how like the idea of like the false matrix, or the parts of the reality that maybe we are healing and emerging out of the unconsciousness of right now. It's built on controlling the first three chakras, so your root, your sacral, your solar plexus, as a way to like kind of bind you to this material realm and get you like worried about like, are you safe in this world? And are you like, what's your, and dominating your, that sexual energy in your sacral. And it, I don't know, just kind of like, it's kind of the whole thing. Like we're trying to like figure out how to take command from a higher aspect than what we've been, or a more conscious aspect, I guess, than what we've been shown before. I feel like that's what you like did, Pete. I feel like that's what you like quantified that in a really cool way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think, I think like we are so programmed to be worried about the next thing, you know, that we can't be like grounded in our own like sovereignty, you know? And I feel like, you know, me and Ruby have talked about this before in terms of like Charles Manson and stuff like that, like being programmed through our trauma, you know, mm-hmm. like even if you think about it, like in terms of like cavemen, like, if they have a traumatic experience like hunting, I feel like that's why it gets in a deeper level of our consciousness, is because it's like almost like a survival program, you know, like it that experience, trauma or whatever, has like maybe in our brains it creates a deeper pathway where it becomes like an embedded way of being, and we become motivated by it without even really necessarily being aware of it. So I think that's why I was telling Ruby, like my son, I think we talked a little bit about it on the podcast, but my son had like a really high fever, like couple weeks ago, I had to take him to the emergency room. And while he was like dealing with the reason I took him was because he started getting delirious. And it was like he was almost like coming in and out of his like awareness. It was like he knew he was Luke, and then like he didn't know he was Luke. So I think there's like something where like maybe a certain level of trauma like opens your brain to like a deeper subconscious level, you know?
That's interesting. I actually had an experience. A friend of mine had a like a Halloween party a couple months ago, whatever, you know, Halloween. You know, sure. You're aware. You're familiar with Halloween.
You've heard of it.
The timing. But we were like in the kitchen. It was actually Chris that was with him. And there was like this moment where they were talking. And then like all of a sudden it was like the, like his eyes changed. Like the kind of like, yeah, almost like he got like afraid of something or like something kind of like, and they were talking about parenting and they were talking about young kids and like teenagers.
That's terrifying.
Well, yeah. And he, our friend, like he has two young kids, younger than our kids. And I don't know if it like tripped something in his mind of like his own maybe trauma in his life. But it was like he like blanked out of reality. It kind of ran outside and it became this like, whoa, wait a minute. Like what, like kind of trying to pull him back into his body. Chris came and got me and I started doing some Reiki and some energy work and I could feel where there was like an energy in his like kind of trying to like, it was like over like a monkey on your back kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Like and trying to overtake him.
Yeah. And I could feel it where it was like connected into his body where he had had like a surgery as a young boy in his leg where they had to, one leg wasn't growing as much as like it should have been. So they had to do a surgery to stop the other leg from growing. And so that like it would kind of balance itself out. And so in the leg that they stunted the growth in, I could feel this like electric charge connecting to this bigger energy that in the moment, I'm not sure to qualify it as like, is that just the energy of trauma that anyone can tap into and have this experience of, and maybe this is the unresolved parts that are coming up that it's, you know, time to heal because the energy in the collective space is no longer supporting space for this to continue to exist. And these lower aspects need to be looked at and cleared. That was kind of how I took it. He's not somebody that he's surrounded by people that believe in energy work and, you know, different levels of kind of a spiritual growth. But he himself would, you know, would pride himself as like a man of science and
one of the worst people.
He's very educated. He was a college professor. And owns a supplement company. And he's a great guy, like big energy. Like it's interesting to be in his space. And I feel like there are higher aspects of him that I feel like I can interact with that the lower aspects don't necessarily understand.
Yeah.
Like for himself. And I think mm-hmm. that he's trying to rectify it. Cause when I began to do Reiki on him, which he had never let me do before, never like done a session. I had never pushed it. He just kind of, but it was like what needed to happen in the moment. He came back into his body with such a look of bewilderment in his eyes, looking at me because he could feel the energy moving in his body. And it was like, connected this, and I've seen him a couple times since this, and he's like not sure how to act around me.
Interesting.
We're navigating new space.
But like, what is he not sure of? Like, I mean, what's his sign so we can talk shit about it?
So he is well, his birthday is October 22nd. So he's a Libra Scorpio kind of.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They usually, the Libra men are usually very open to this, I think.
I mean, some aren't. Like, I mean, I don't know. I have a friend who has that same birthday, and like, I wouldn't say he's open to stuff like that. He's much like, yeah, I don't know.
I feel like he's open if it is, can be shown to be legit. I think, you know, we have to prove a lot kind of. Yeah, we like, there's been kind of a theme around, you know, he knows tons of people and like kind of in the influencer space, and a lot of those people have gone the path of spirituality and, you know, are pretty airy fairy, not super grounded, not super, can't really speak to it, you know, they're just kind of, I don't know, I'm not sure, I don't want to put judgment on those people, but I know that he like won't listen to like those people of our like kind of acquaintance group at all.
Yeah.
But he has always been very open to me, but I've also never pushed it with him. I've never. And then when this kind of presented and it was like, oh, this is like a situation. This is like, you are not in your body and something connected to you is, and I, you know, obviously like I caution like saying this in like a public place, because I think it can be fearful for people. The way that I see it, and this has been kind of a recent development of being able to see these things, is that it's like we have our programming that we come in with and also that we receive while we're here in our human life. And that connects us kind of like what you were saying with like the trauma, like survival instinct stuff. We have all of that in our wiring. The stories that we then experience here, like, will connect us to energies that we've that experienced that maybe on like a bigger scale. Like, okay, like for me, I came in, I had a, you know, traumatic event, and now I'm connected to the energy of trauma. I can see it in other people. I can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I became a mother. I can understand the experience of motherhood, you know, whatever. It kind of connects you to these larger energies.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, but then people get really super identified with the story that was really just meant to connect them to this bigger energy so that they could start to work through it, start to heal it, start to transmute it, understand mm-hmm. it, understand themselves on a deeper level. And like, so, and I think that's where that like sexual energy gets in the mix too, because it's one of those first three chakras. Like, if you keep people living in their lower chakras, then they're super identified with the energies that they came to kind of interact with it. So they're super identified with their stories, their programming, the world around, the external world.
Yeah. I'm a survivor of X, Y, or Z experience. I think that's, I mean, you see that a lot, like, especially lately, just like people who, yeah, just like seriously identify with a diagnosis or
label,
you know, I'm a survivor of narcissistic abuse or whatever. Like, not me, but just like that's a thing you hear a lot, I feel like, lately. And maybe it's just, I mean, there's kind of a trend of people like being able, like, once you're able to articulate the trauma and like and understand that like understand how it works and you start to identify like your triggers, or you start to hear other people's stories that sound like your story. Like, I mean, it's part of the process. Like the first step is acknowledging you have the problem or whatever. But I think that you can easily like stop short of really moving through it and like transmuting it, because you get stuck in the identity. Because it's really affirming, like, to be able to say like, oh, like, I have all these issues because I'm on the autism spectrum. And, you know, there's also gifts that come with that or whatever. And you start to like embrace it a lot, which is good. But then, yeah, it's like you can kind of get stuck there. Mm-hmm. And it becomes like your whole, you know, it becomes very important as like part of your identity. And like, then it's still the thing motivating you, even if, even, you know, you've accepted it and embraced it, it's still like you're just more consciously motivated by it. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it's kind of oxymoronic.
I think you're spot on. The way it like kind of shows up to me is like, okay, so those bigger energies, let's say motherhood, it's just like kind of a general example, because we all have a mom, and some of us may be moms, or no one. it's like an energetic river of anyone that's ever been a mom. Is their consciousness is populating that river. And you have higher aspects of that, and you have lower aspects of that. And so you become a mom, and now your consciousness is now connected to that overarching river. And it's whatever your experience was of being a mom, becoming a mom, whatever that is, positive or
negative. Collective trauma of motherhood.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Exactly. I mean, I've said this before, probably maybe on the pod, but I feel like there's something about becoming a mom that like you just go crazy in a specific way. Like you kind, you know, I don't know. It's like I think it's necessary as and like instinctual and like part of being a parent. But like you, I feel like mom specifically kind of, I don't know. It's like such a huge responsibility. You kind of lose your mind a little bit. And it does have to be it does have to be like this huge part of your identity, and it's like the thing kind of motivating everything you do. Like, I mean, that's not everyone's experience, of course, but like I think the majority of mothers like could probably relate to being like just significantly different. I say the word crazy, but I just mean like yeah, like there's just some like you care more about that and will do anything, whether it's logical or not, to like take care of your kids. Like that's all I mean. It's like, and I think you know, right. It the way
I
it
take
works
care of my
like
kids.
Well, the world will like sell you like, oh, you have to do it this way if you want to do a good job. So if you're running a program underneath motherhood where you need to identify as a good girl, like you're also running that program now.
My mind went instantly dirty when you said that. Sorry.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But if you're also then running that program, now you have a story that your lived experience was like your birth story, you know, your mother becoming a mom story. So now you're in the energetic river of everyone that's ever been a mother. Then you're also, if you've not done any kind of trauma work, nervous system work, whatever, you're also then at the mercy of the underlying program where you're like, I just want to be a good person. I want to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, now the lower aspects of like the false matrix or whatever matrix reality has the ability then to control you, because now you are trapped in your lower three chakras as you're trying to interact with. You want to be a good mom, or you know, whatever that is. You want to experience that from the highest aspect, because that's going to be way more fun. But these other energies are tied to your story. So those, you've got big energies happening that are, but then there's the aspects that are laying on or in the person's individual energy field. And so when I, sometimes when I see it, it's like that person's consciousness is like operating in this kind of lower bandwidth. And you can kind of see where like the light will try to come in their eyes, like the higher aspect tries to come in, but they have so much built up in like their own stories and identification with their stories that they almost push it out of their, they almost put the high, push the higher aspect out of there. And then they're just being like bombarded and like, they're just a, it's almost like I keep calling it no one driving the spaceship. Like if your body is the spaceship, like nobody's driving it except for like, you know, like you, the drunk monkey that you like don't, wouldn't want driving it.
Oh God.
So you're like figuring out how to like take,
I feel like we're in that drunk monkey.
Yeah. We got to like figure out how to like not have the drunk monkey driving.
Yeah,
by hearing these like stories and you know looking at these things and putting that like awareness on them and like recognizing you know what where we're operating from. I don't know. This is what.
Yeah, but so what's the fastest way out of that? Like, what's the
commanding your space seems to be the like. And if you have to do it a million times a day for a while until it is just like automatic behavior. Just like for me, I just say I'm my highest and best. I say highest and best because the best part was like, I realized that I don't always necessarily want to be in my highest aspect because I also want it to be informed by the traumas I've experienced and the, you know, all the depth and breadth of, you know, conscious awareness that I've gained in all in the journey of being a human, however long that has been. So I say highest and best, cause I want like, I imagine it as like a team of informants that are like, okay, this is, we're going to take everybody's good. Like it's my democratic system of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Well, and also like your best doesn't mean necessarily like it's, I think that's an interesting word just because it's like, especially if you're a person who tends to be a perfectionist or, like, I mean, I will like not do something if I don't think I can do it well, or
well,
I'll avoid doing things. It's like just like doing your best doesn't mean you have to be perfect or whatever. Like it,
yeah.
It's just like yeah. Wherever you are is okay. You know,
you get to. I like it because I'm also a recovering perfectionist,
mm-hmm.
And so I feel like when I command my space, when I command my energy of like highest and best. Then whatever happens, I know that that's what it is. Like, even if I, like, you know, get in a fender bender or get a ticket or something happens, like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is for my best. This is in my best. Like,
cool. That's nice in theory. I don't
know. Yeah. But, like,
I don't have
to be
like,
honest.
I lose
my
keys 100 times a day, right? And it's like, I get so frustrated with myself about things like that because I'm like, why can't I just get it together? You know, I'm like, I don't see how that's I don't know if that's for my highest good or my, if that's really my, maybe it is my best in that moment. I don't know, but I'm
it'll start to shift like the energy around you. So the stuff that needs to be cleared out, it starts mm-hmm. to make more space for those to be cleared out, for those to be like, addressed from like for you to be able to see it from a higher, maybe more forgiving space for yourself.
Right, you're right. Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I'm too cynical. Like, I would be like, for me, like something that I say sometimes is like, I am who I am, and that's okay, and that's it. You know, like, because I feel like part of me when I'm like, this is for my best, I'm like, yeah, shut the fuck up, asshole. No, it's not. Like, this sucks.
Well, you know, it's not necessarily like, oh, this is for my best. It's more of, I'm just commanding my energetic space from the lens of, so like, just my energetic space. I'm just trying to create a little window where the drunk monkey isn't the one that is driving the ship. Trying to like, they can sit down, they can co-pilot, they can be around, they can hang out, but they're not driving the spaceship.
Yeah.
My highest and best is driving the spaceship. So that's kind of like, So, like, I guess I say that just, like, don't overthink it. You're not, like, you can still be cynical. You could still have the drunk monkey in the spaceship, which would be those, like, cynical parts and those parts that, like, go, like, well, fuck this. This is, like, not whatever. It's just who's in the driver's seat. It's at least, like, how it's just how it has worked for me, you know, like you may find something totally different that like just makes more sense.
I mean, whatever works. I try to be as, if there's anything I identify with, it's like being productive or like making progress, you know? So I feel like I always try to do things that feel like they're simple and efficient for me.
You know?
Like, and whatever that is, that is. Like, right now, for me, my go-to for everything always is, like, just breathe into your heart. Like, if I feel like I'm overwhelmed, and I just feel like when your energy's in your heart, you're viewing things with love. And to me, like, love is unconditional. So it's like, even if you're fucking up or doing the wrong thing, like, at least you're viewing it from a loving perspective where you're like, okay, this is who I am, and this is probably why I'm doing this. And I can accept that aspect of myself if I'm seeing it with love.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's, like, in that same kind of vein. Like, just trying to figure out how to, like, create a little bit of distance from your drunk monkeys.
Yeah. If something's like triggering to you, or like you're not where you want to be, like if you're seeing it with love, at least you kind of can give yourself a little more grace instead of having this like intellect kind of be like, oh, you're lazy or you're stupid or, you know, whatever negative thing you want to give it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. I feel like that's a hard one too, like the productivity one, like, because you do really feel like that internal urge to like do something. Then there's also the like, there's the programming part of it too that shows up that like, oh, you have to do something, or like you don't have like value, you know, like kind of the old world way of being, you know. Yeah.
Well, like me and Ruby were talking about it a little yesterday, is like when people get wrapped up in like social media trends of like what's going on in the world, it's like you're fighting a system that's dying.
Yes.
But you're giving energy to that system still to keep it around longer. But your problem is with that system.
Yes.
You know, so like why, whatever it is, you know, like any political social issue, it's like if you're fighting like, you know, inequality or whatever, it's like you're still feeding the energy of that system instead of like trying to like create a new one or have a vision of a new one. It's like you're wrapped up in the fear of that old system, which is then feeding it more energy.
Have you guys seen, there's like a whole like, I've just seen it on like kind of other spiritual teachers, Instagrams and stuff, of like people trying to like kind of call them out to like take a stand on this like Israeli Palestine thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of that. Like, I think, you know, I mean, not to say like it's not, I don't know, just to kind of avoid the whole conversation about what's going on, I there's definitely like a push, or like even just like celebrities who haven't made a statement about it, people are like demanding that they take a stand, or, you know, represent what the what's going on in Israel and in Gaza like on their social media and stuff. And it's just like, I wonder, I mean, I think it's a response to like probably the fear and the like powerlessness that people feel when you have to like watch just like atrocities happening in our world. You know, I think it's like there's, by demanding somebody say something, you almost feel like you're doing something, even though you're really not.
Yeah. It's and just like a twisted kind of
it, it's very it's a weird projection, I think, to some extent. I mean, like, for me, like, I just don't feel like I necessarily am the most, like, there's plenty of people saying a lot of stuff, there's a lot of noise. I don't know what I can contribute to that conversation that hasn't already been said or isn't being said in a better, more articulated, like more articulate, more informed way by somebody else. Like, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like, not, and not everybody's like opinion. Like, I don't need to hear what like Brad Pitt thinks about this, or I don't necessarily yes. need to, like, I can form my own opinion without needing an influencer to like tell me what to think about it. And I don't know. It's like doing, demanding that someone say something. It's like, it's just like getting in, you can't force other people to do anything. First of all, it's like a way of avoiding yourself, you know, to like put the focus over here and be upset that like, why aren't they doing more? It's like,
yeah,
what are you doing? Like, you know, like, why aren't you doing more? I'm sure there's something more productive for you to do. Like, maybe you can't do anything about this specific situation in Palestine, but you can do something that makes the world a little bit nicer of a place. Like, there's probably something you can do. Yeah, and I don't know.
He was saying too, like, how, if we're gonna like sit and like give it all this energy, like, aren't we just continuing it? Like, then we're giving it, like, you're feeding it, like, from a purely energetic perspective. Like,
yeah, no, you're shining, you know, it's like sunlight or whatever. It's like you're causing it to grow because there's so much energy going towards it. And also, like, just the news cycle and clicks on videos and like shares on Facebook, all of that stuff, like, somebody's benefiting from it, and it's not the people in Gaza. Like, it's definitely yeah. Facebook and like whatever the news is, and, you know, even the influencers that are making money off of their social media, you know, like, yeah. I don't know, it makes me nervous. It's such a false, like, I don't know. It's, yeah, it's like a weird parallel universe where it's not real, and it does have some real impact, I guess, on, like, I don't know. But I feel like just the whole world of social media is, yeah, it is. That's what the Matrix is, you know, like, if just in, like, in the movie, like, we're just plugged in to like this thing. And it prevents us from like moving around in the real world and like actually making some kind of change or contribution. But I feel like we're very attached to what's going on social media. At the same time, like, it's really hard to just be like, to like just unplug, because I don't know, like, here we are making a podcast. It's kind of the same thing. Like, it's like, there's good things about it. I don't, like, I'm not trying to delete my social media. I don't know. Like, I like the way I can connect with people, or just like the positive things that are out there. Like, I've learned a lot of, you know, different kinds of skills, and just, I've gained a lot of knowledge from being on social media and finding people who taught me something or whatever, you know, like, there's good things about it. I don't want to just unplug from it, but I think there's just such a big distraction from, yeah. like, I don't know.
Anytime, like, any people are demanding someone else do something because they've determined that you should be doing something different, like, anytime somebody's trying to, like almost like exhibit that level of control, it kind of, I I feel like that just tells me like where you're at on like where your consciousness is operating from. Like it tells me which drunk monkey is driving your spaceship. Because like, I'm like, oh, okay, so you haven't worked out that we're all like autonomous beings yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to like tell this person, or you want to put it out to your audience that like you're not a spiritual person if you're not speaking on this particular issue that you've deemed is the issue that should be talked about and also be talked about in this particular way in order for mm-hmm. that person. So like
not everybody needs to speak on everything. Like not I really can't like make statements about experiences that I haven't had or don't know about, or even if I do, like, I don't know. It's just not everybody needs to hear my opinion on, I don't know, like, whatever, like.
Well, I mean, it comes from ego
or something. Like, I can't speak on like knowing anything about cars, so I don't fucking talk about that shit. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like I'm not gonna tell you what's wrong with your car and tell you what like how to fix it because I don't know about that.
I'm just like a great mechanic, Ruby.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, like just go out and be like, oh, this, you know, that looks weird. Like maybe. I don't know. Like,
you should do something about that.
You should do something about that. Why haven't you fixed that yet? It's like it's just ignorant. I don't know. But what were you gonna say, Pete? You chimed
well,
in.
I think then, like, a lot of things. Like I was thinking, like to me, like social media in a way, like is like a suppressor in itself because it's like it gives these people this sense of like doing something, but like really, what are you doing?
Yep.
You know, so like say this was the olden days before social media, it's like if you had a real issue with something, you would like protest in the streets or you would, you know, organize like boycotts or like do different things to like what would like Martin Luther King do, you know, like that type of stuff. Now you have social media and it's like, oh, I can just post in my stories mm-hmm. about how we should fight different yeah. things in Gaza, like whatever.
I mean, yeah, Martin Luther King actually organized people and brought people together to collectively do
yeah,
things.
And
like,
that's why they killed him.
But that's the thing. It's like that's how everything. I mean, that's how politics works. Like organizing people to volunteer and make phone calls and go and knock on people's doors and like
yeah.
spread the message and do this like you know, a lot of it's based on volunteering, people just doing it for free. Like most people aren't getting paid, like, you know, to campaign for even like Biden or whatever. Like a lot, there's tons of volunteers, and I don't know, I'm just saying that to say like you have to actually organize and get a group of people together. It's like if you, it's the same way like unions work or whatever. And yeah. you can do so much by doing that. But social media, it makes you feel like you have some control or you're playing a part in it. But all you're really doing is like, yeah, just like signaling that you're engaged and you.
Yeah, you're one of like, the good ones.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, and then it's like, so we've talked about like creating like a sub-reality. So like. You give this power to social media as like a reality, and then you hold your standard of social media like it is a reality, but it's really not, you know? So it's like it almost like compartmentalizes up the power of people because they give so much power to social media, then it creates this like separate reality where like social media has this standard, and it's like, oh, you only, you know, like if you're protesting on social media, you're really protesting, but in fact, you're really not. And it's just like it's dissipating this anger, revolutionary type energy by just like people saying, oh, I posted on Instagram, like how
yeah,
you should
it's
fight
diluting
this.
The actual power we have to, you know, make things happen.
Yeah. And then like, what are you really doing?
Yeah.
What do you guys feel like the thing, like, do you feel like it's a voting with dollars kind of situation? Like, do we just, like, what would be, like, the best way to actually, like, articulate change.
I think sovereignty, like your own sovereignty, like don't like rely on any system. You know, like you need,
especially if it's a binary, like if it's like this or that, like you're with us or you're against us. I feel like that's always just like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, my answer is you with us or against us. No, I'm not even around.
I'm like, a
yeah, I'm like wind. I'm my own separate thing. Like I grow my own food. I have my own property. I get my own energy. Like I think the only way to really like break these systems is not rely on them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and that's
like the push pull of like the taking energy, like really kind of becoming your own sovereign.
Yeah, like really not feeding into the system anymore. It's like, you know, by even getting in any sort of political debate, you're like buying that this they have more power over us.
No, I've been on this like nobody should vote kick, and people look at me like I'm nuts. I'm like,
actually, my father, who's like watches the news every day, was like telling me how he told some guy he's not voting anymore. Like, what's the difference? Yeah.
Well, hey, maybe maybe it's taken off because I feel like,
yeah,
I feel like how do you know you can't fix a problem from the level that created it. We're not going to fix the problem from being in it. The system has been telling us to get out and vote for my entire lifetime.
Yeah.
So maybe the system telling us to get out and vote is like the exact opposite of what we should be doing. Which
yeah,
would be,
well,
nope.
Yeah,
I think
I
if we all just like didn't vote for president, that would be very interesting. Like, I mean, I think you should probably be paying some attention to like who's on like your county commission and like where you actually live and the people that are making decisions that will affect like your daily life, you know. That's something we completely ignore for the most part. Like most people have no idea what's going on in their like local elections and don't really engage, but like every 4 years we get really excited to vote about like to vote for the president, and I feel like that's where it really doesn't matter. Like that's a machine that I promise you do not understand how it works, and like it's, I don't know, yeah, it's just like that part I think doesn't matter, and I think that's what people are getting so disillusioned with.
I had a friend yesterday, I thought this was a really cool idea. Her idea, and this is like very much sounded like a new earth idea, and it was like she said everybody should have to volunteer 3 years in their lifetime to public service. Like it's just part of society, everybody does it. It's some, you know, you work whatever the jobs are the most necessary, you know, from the lower government level all the way up, you just dedicate some of your, you know, 10 hours a week or whatever for 3 years, whatever it would break down to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of this like assumption of like service, like you, oh yeah, now I gotta go do this thing for, you know, a brief period of time. We don't have career politicians. And, you know, maybe that's not I'm sure there's so many holes in that idea, but it was cool
to hear
someone have an idea. Because, like, for the longest...
It was nice that you had like another option, perhaps.
Yeah, because for so long, it's like, okay, we're in the consciousness of breaking down these systems. But, okay, the first phase of that is realizing everything that's wrong with these systems. And there's not a lot of space left over to go, oh, and I would do this part different. Like, we just go, like, this is all a mess. But we don't have any other options because we don't have the space to hold.
People really don't know how that stuff works, though. Like, you know, I feel like most people don't know what different positions within our government do, what their function is. They don't know like what their responsibility is, you know,
I mean, nothing runs slower or more inconsistent and like
even the people who are running it don't understand how it works.
Yeah,
like, and it's like a lot. You ever watch Big Brother?
like a little bit.
Okay, well, I've never seen it till recently. I watched a season of Celebrity Big Brother, and it was fascinating because, like, obviously some of the people in the house like really understood the game and how the game works, which it's like I can't explain it to you because I don't really understand it. But then there were other people in the house who clearly had no fucking clue, like, how the game was working, like, because it's sort of played with very subtle, like, manipulations, I guess. And, like, you'll be in an alliance with somebody not realizing that, like, you're also in an alliance with another person, and those two things are going to,
like, so bad at that.
You can't have it both ways, you know? Or, like, your alliance with this person is actually, like, I don't know. Like, it's basically, like, they'll kick people out and frame it as if they're going to, like, save them from getting kicked out, and then actually they just, like, put them in a position for everyone to, like, unanimously get them out. It's very weird. Like, they have this, like, backdoor system. It's wild. Like, I couldn't explain it to you if I tried, but I don't know. I guess my only point was just to say that, like, I think it's sort of like that, where, like, there's some people who, you know, have an understanding of our, just even our constitution the positions and the way that government functions. And then there's people who, like, really don't, like, they don't know what to do in this situation or that situation, because we don't actually have a plan for that. There's so much that, despite all the bureaucracy, I feel like there's so many gaps in, I don't know, like, it's like our government's concerned with all the wrong things. And, you know, if you see, like, just, like, how broken the systems are, like, the systems that are supposed to be in place to, like, support people, like, whether it's some kind of, like, welfare agency of some kind, or like HUD, like the housing department, or even, like, I don't know, like, all of these things, like, they're so ineffectual. Like, it takes, like, 6 years to get through the process of, like, whatever. I don't know, it just, like, doesn't function. And I think it's because people just don't understand, really. It's a complicated game, and people don't really understand how it works, like, yeah.
I feel like, as, like, people, or my, like, I don't know, as we go through this individual process, like, the process of individuation, right? We're becoming autonomous. We're learning how to manage our energy. We're healing the parts of ourselves that are not operating from the energetic space that we would like them to operate from. We're going through this, like, very individual process as we then become part of, like, this overarching, you know, bigger and bigger energies, which I think, you know, eventually leads back to the one. So eventually, yes, we are all one, but, like, right now we're learning how to just be us, like, individual.
Yeah.
I think that we start, as we do that collectively more and more, people begin to experience, like, oh, this is just how my energy operates. It's not the thoughts that I'm thinking. It's not that I'm forcing myself to be this particular way. It's, I just am this. I just move in the world like this. And we're able to start to recognize in people how their energy operates in contrast to our own energy. And, like, oh, you'd be really good at that. You'd be really good at that. Oh, hey, you guys want to, here's an idea. Let's do this thing. And it starts to kind of, like, come together. At least this is my, like, pie in the sky, what I feel like I've kind of started to experience. I'm getting a little feedback, hold on. I don't know if that's my me or what. Anyway,
I don't hear it.
I think, like, I always think of, like, Esther Hicks, Abraham Hicks, you know, the manifestation. She always talks about like you can't get the solution from like sitting in the problem.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to get to a higher space and then you'll find the easier solution because you'll be in the space of like higher energy. So it's like you can't expect like these people to be in these like dead end government jobs and be happy about giving like shitty solutions. You know, like they have to kind of have the space to like come up with more authentic solutions.
Yeah.
Problem. You know, it's like it's because it's a system. It's like very like mechanical with its answers instead of like giving authentic answers for each problem.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think it's like that's the issue with bureaucracy is like you can try to organize and create like an assembly line for like solutions to problems like in our society or in our world. But in reality, like there is no, I don't know. I feel like you can't like do anything algorithmically when you're dealing with like people because I don't know. There like has to be some emotion and like some intuition or individual treatment for things. You know, we can't just blanketly say like this is how it's done and this is going to work everywhere because everywhere's a little bit different because people are a little bit different. Like, I mean, ultimately we're the same, but do you know what I'm saying? Like, you need sort of that bird's eye view of like everything, sort of like you were saying at the beginning, like, or maybe it was Kristen, I don't know, but you need to be able to like look at it from a higher perspective in order to see that, like, I don't know, like how to handle it on like a smaller, like a micro level. Like, if that makes any sense, like you have to look at from the macro to be able to manage the micro. And I think like what we do instead is make like blanket generalizations. And we're not really looking at how it's like all really not functioning together. I don't know. But I do think you're right in the sense that like, we have to like, you can't solve it from within. Like you have to get out of it and or at least like get some space from it.
We have to destroy the system.
I mean,
it's the only answer.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, but like this is what we have to work with right now. Like you can't just like snap your fingers and get rid of it.
Yeah, but it's like a broken system. So it's like you're coming from like you're forcing the vantage point instead of like having an open canvas, you know, like you can't get the answer from here.
You get attached to it. I've been trying to do crossword puzzles, like the New York Times crossword puzzle every day. And it's challenging because like maybe like the first answer you think of, like it fits and it seems right. And you kind of get attached to that being the correct answer. And then you can like realize, you can just like not realize that it's not like it's the wrong word. And that's what's fucking you up with everything else because you're just like, you're not.
That's open a really good
to the idea that there were other options and other like answers that, you know, I don't know. Like you have this one word that you're stuck on, like being, you think it's right. And that's what's like messing up the whole thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
That's such a good analogy.
I don't know. That's just what I've been doing lately. It's really hard.
It's just the identity. Traffic. And just, we were talking about it earlier of just like people get really identified to like their, you know, whatever their label is. Like, that's such a piece right now that I feel like on the collective level, the collective scale, people are getting they're getting a little trapped in the consciousness part. Of their own consciousness, like the drunk monkey that's driving the collective spaceship right now seems to be one that really wants to play in the land of labels and identity. And
mm-hmm. And maybe that's the thing that we're kind of like moving out of or healing or, you know. Because it's like, I understand, like, we as humans, like, are social creatures. We need to belong. We need to connect. But I think, I don't know, it's like the labels, I think, are what keep us from connecting, really.
I think it's good to, like, it's like good to be aware. It's like you get that awareness. You're like, oh, I mean, like, you know, growing up, I didn't know that I was ADD and autistic. I never had that experience. As an adult, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
thanks to social media, I'm like, I'm 100% on this autism spectrum. And
we're all autistic now.
We're all autistic. Right? Like, I didn't know that. I didn't have an identity with that.
It helps to be able to articulate it and understand yourself. It definitely does.
Yeah. And to be able to, I feel like on a bigger scale, bigger energetic scale, we are consciousness. Consciousness is energy. We're trying to experience ourselves. We want to kind of catch a glimpse of ourselves. Like, what do we look like? What do we feel like? How big are we really? And there's these ways that we start to try to do that. And that can look like identity and label. But we don't want to pause. We don't want to just stay there. We want to go, okay, I'm like taking all of this information. And now that I've gathered all this information, now that I know what ADD is, or I know what depression is, or whatever, now that I know all of this, like, what if I like turned this on its head? What if I was actually like bigger than this thing? Or what if I was, and we just start like asking more questions, because our consciousness is ready to expand and hold more of the experience, not just stay as a, oh, I'm just this person, I'm just that person.
Yeah.
You know, like to keep going, knowing that you eventually are everything. So there's always more space that your consciousness can hold. So you don't have to just be the, oh, I'm the bipolar person. You're like, you learn all that you want and have that, like, allow that to serve you. And then you kind of know when it has served you. And because you start to get a little curious about, like, am I still, I don't know. You start asking yourself questions. And that's kind of that cue, or at least in my mind, of like, oh, okay, we're ready to like expand beyond this. We're ready to be big enough to hold more than just I am this one little thing.
I think that's a really like lovely point. And it's just, I don't know, I feel like that's such a gentle way of saying, like, you know, I don't know, just like accept who you are, even if it's not great, like, but it makes sense. Like, you gave me a why, like, I don't know, because I feel like it's so easy to just be like, oh, you just have to like love yourself and accept yourself. Like, I don't know what that means. I feel like you just explained what that meant.
It's like such a compliment, because I feel like that is the thing that I have been trying to quantify as like a,
yeah,
I don't know, a teacher or healer or whatever the fuck I am.
Like, yeah, I feel like that's I don't know, like, I feel like you just answered a really big question, and it's like, it's obvious that like that's been something that you're like working on, and like I don't think you could articulate that unless you've experienced.
You feel like that's always been there, and it's more about like acknowledging it.
I feel like we're consciousness like on a walkabout, right? Like, you hear Australians talk about like going on, you know, we're on a walkabout, and we are trying to experience ourself as, whether we want to say with the aspect of God, or we're just consciousness trying to experience what that is, what that looks like. We're trying to catch a glimpse of ourselves. We got all these mirrors set up in this land of duality. And those mirrors can all be there to like They're just trying to, hey, here, this is part of who you are. And this is part of who you are. And this is part of who you are. We then like write a story on whether we think that that thing is good or bad, which kind of derails us. Then we go play in the crack of that is that story with that energy. We don't necessarily have to do that. We can kind of back it out and go like, oh no, it's fine. I'm all of these things.
Yeah.
And I can, what do those things want to tell me? What are they? And I kind of take it from the standpoint of like, I just make the assumption that I've probably lived a whole bunch of lives. I've probably experienced a little slice of everything. I have been the shitbag and the angel in every situation possible, most likely.
Do you like being the shitbag or the angel more?
Depends on the depends on the thing.
I feel like a shitbag's more fun.
There is some fun and some shitbaggery.
No, definitely there is. Yeah. But you can't have like tunnel vision and just get stuck on like being or.
Yeah.
You can't get stuck on the one experience because there, like you said, there are these, I don't know, there's so many mirrors and it's like there's infinite like things to see.
I wanted a space within like my body and my mind and my heart, my consciousness. I wanted a space that I could connect to that allowed for any mirror to show up and for me to go and to me to be able to not judge it and to love it. Like, but basically Jesus's whole shtick was like, how do you actually do that? How do you actually, exactly. How do you do that? So for me, this is how I was like, if I can really sit in the space of like kind of owning everything, and I'll feel sometimes like, you know, a twinge of something, you know, it comes up and I'll feel it kind of course through my body, like this little like wave of heat. Maybe it's embarrassment. Maybe I had a memory pop up of my, you know, drinking days when I was in my 20s and just dumb shit I've done or said or who knows. And you know, you get the flash of the memory. And I'd go like, I'd feel that and I just kind of like sit in it. Like, what if it was like, okay, like what is it that I was afraid that would happen? Like, why does this have a charge around it? And can I poke at it and sit with it and think about it and roll it around in my thought thinking process without really attaching to it, without writing a new story around it, just kind of like hold it for what it is and go, yeah, all right, no, I'm fine that I was a fucking weirdo that night and these people witnessed me and my weird, maybe they needed the experience of witnessing me and my weirdness or bitchiness or whatever it was, you know, like opening that little bit of like glimmer of a gateway of like forgiveness within myself to start to like diffuse that charge a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I always feel like there was always kind of like this like collective squeeze on us. And like, you know, as the collective opened up, it feels like I opened up to it. Like, but part of me felt like it was always there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain it better than that, but, cause even just like, I noticed
you couldn't see.
Yeah, no, but like, I feel like I always knew there was energy. Like I was always very aware of energy as a kid. But it's like it almost was like not allowed to express itself fully. And then I feel like as the collective energy, and now because I just notice it because like when I do a lot of stuff with my kids, energy work, like I teach them different things. And I feel like they're so aware of it.
Yeah.
And so naturally aware of it, even in just like talking and stuff. Like, yeah. I was driving home with my, I do a lot of stuff with my son, Luke, because I feel like he's, astrologically, he's, like, going through stuff, he's doing like Rahu and the Vedic astrology. It's like kind of like your south node return. So he always feels like isolated and alone. That's like part of interacting with that. So I always try to do like energy work with him. I teach him like how to like, you know, I do like heart breaths with him. I have him do heart breaths when he wakes up to just like start his day.
So smart.
And then I do like, you know, protection stuff, but like his energy, like he's super aware of like moving his energy. And even my daughter Anna, I was driving home with her. It was just me and her, and we were just talking, and we were talking about God. And I was like, well, what do you think, like God, like, what do you really think? Cause she said, you know, she went to like Lutheran Catholic school for nursery. So they do like stuff. And she's like, well, God was nailed on the cross.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Like, yeah. And I'm like, well, is that what you think? Or is that like what somebody told you to believe? And she's like, I don't know. It took me back for some reason. She was like, well, what I really think is like, everybody is everybody. That's what she said.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just like, what? And she's like, yeah, everybody is everybody.
Everything is like, everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, I didn't tell her that. I've never like said that to her. She just like authentically just said that. And I was like, wow. I was like, that took me back. And like, she can feel that with no knowledge of anything. You know?
That's so cool.
And then like, we were just talking about like energy. And she's like, she started talking about like, I'm like, oh, we were talking about like the color of like souls. I was like, you know, like, do you ever see people's like souls or like feel their souls? And then she was like tapping into like, she could tell, like, I know what colors people are sometimes. Like, I see like colors for people, and she could see it. And she was telling me like what she saw on me, like, just, and it was like very like natural. Like, just offhand, like, what she felt. And I feel like I always felt that, but it felt like there was, like, a squeeze on me not to kind of let that out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I was going with this, but...
Yeah.
No, that's cool. I think I was always very aware, like, of... I don't know. I was just always aware of like how other people were like feeling and what their energy felt like as like a kid, you know, but I don't think I realized like that was different than anybody else, or, you know, like, I was very sensitive as a kid, and I like cried easily, like, or got, I had a lot of like rage. I think like, I don't know. I had a lot of big emotions, and I was also just very like super aware of what was going on with everyone else, and just like probably too open to that. And I just think I didn't have a way to articulate it like necessarily on that level, you know, like sort of like you and Anna like interacting and having that conversation. I don't know. It's just kind of amazing to me because I don't know. Of course, kids are more in touch with like, I don't know, whatever the higher realms or divine energy or something. I feel like they just are like, kids see ghosts, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just they're more like open, but I don't know. I don't think everybody like gives their kids like asks those kinds of questions and allows them to be curious about that. You know, that side, you know, just because like, I don't know. Yeah. Most people just think like supernatural or woo woo or like, just like nonsense, fairy tale land, like, you know,
yeah.
And well, it's, I just never got to like, it wasn't until I was older that I understood that, like, I don't know, just that there was more than meets the eye. If that makes sense. I don't have like a religion or anything either that taught me like, I don't know. I didn't really have that like religious programming.
Yeah. Well, I just try to ask them questions that like makes them like think about things instead of just like accepting them how they are. You know, like, what do you really feel inside of you instead of like what your teacher told you? Or like, you know, like I always
responses, you know?
Yeah. Well, it always, so I asked, oh, you know what she, we were talking about the devil. Because she drew a picture of this like axolotl. She loves axolotls. And she like split it in half and like one side was bad and one side was good. And we were talking about the devil, and I said, I said, do you think there's a real place called hell? And she said, I don't think there's a hell, but I think there's a place where monsters are.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so I said, well, do you think there's bad people? Like evil people? And she doesn't believe that there's evil people. But then she said, I feel like, because I've talked to her about like police and like criminals, because I said, like, you know, one time they said something like, oh, if you're in jail, you're a bad person. But I said, all right, well, like, what if your family was starving and you couldn't make money and you had to feed them? What would you do? And Luke was like, I would hunt an animal. And I was like, well, what about like if you had to steal for food? Do you think are you a bad person? Because you stole for food. So like ever since I said that, she's like, she doesn't believe that there's bad people. Like they're motivated by
or that certain things are wrong, maybe.
Well, no, just like that. I just try to see, like, I want to teach them to like see all the perspectives, because like somebody tells you like this person's bad, you know, like you don't know what they went through in their life.
Yeah.
No, like, because, like, she said,
or someone tells you they're good, you also need to
question. Yeah. No, but, like, there was, like, kids. There's, like, a kid who's, like, really bad in her class. And I just said to her, I said, you know, there's kids who go home and they don't get attention from their parents. There's kids who come home to nobody. You know, so, like, you got to realize they're acting that way because they want attention. They want somebody to like give into their energy. And it's like, they're, you know, it doesn't make them a bad person. Like I tell her, you know, like they just want love, and that's their version of finding love right now, you know? So ever since I kind of like talked to her about that stuff, it's like she kind of sees that everybody deep down is a good person.
Yeah, like not to make judgments.
Yeah, just because like you don't see everything. Yeah, you don't know what's going on in somebody's life, you know. And most of the kids who are bad, that's what it is. Like my son had this one kid, Justin, who would like, you know, act out a lot and stuff like that. And then it winds up like his mom is never home, and he's like lives on his own basically. And it's like, you know, that's why that kid is the way he is. But I don't know. Oof. We're kind of going off on a tangent, but. I don't know what the point of all of it was.
I don't know where we started from there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's okay.
I don't know. I feel like we're complete. We kind of like went off whatever, but anyway.
No, I think I think it's cool. Like I think what you're saying, or if I can jump in, just there are aspects of ourselves, like especially like kids, you know, they're so tapped in to the energy around, they're able to access like their higher mind aspects.
Yeah,
because they don't have all the like they don't have all the film and the dust and the debris in between that we as adults are kind of figuring out how to maneuver our way through.
Yeah, it's not filtered by like self-judgment, you know.
Yeah,
and you're not saying like this is the you know, like, oh, I don't want to be seen as this version, so I can't say this,
I don't want to be weird,
yeah.
I feel like that's
Yeah, like I feel like my daughter Anna gives her authentic self all the time. Like, I don't care, you know, like she has that very like, I don't care what anyone thinks. This is how I feel.
I love that. For she's a little Taurus, isn't she?
Yeah. She's a little stubborn.
Yeah.
Bull.
I think I was always drawn to people like that. I was never like that kid who was just like, I'm a do whatever. I don't care what anybody thinks. Like, I feel like I was always very sensitive to what other people thought. But like my best friends, like growing up, were like the weird kids that like just marched to the beat of their own drum, like. Very like, I don't know, my childhood best friend for like a long time, she's a Pisces, like, and just yeah, like very much like off in her own world, very like huge imagination, like super creative kid. And I don't know, I was always drawn to that, but I was just never that person either. Like I always admire it. I think that's why like I was drawn to Pete too, is because you're just like, I feel like you're also very authentically yourself, and like that's a hard thing. Like, I think it's not that easy. Like, it's like saying, you know, like, oh, you should just like love and accept yourself. Like, it's like, okay, what does it mean to be authentic? Like, what if I don't know who I am?
It feels gross otherwise. It's like, who am I pretending to be?
It's hard to say like what it means, but I think you know when you're not. I can definitely feel myself get anxious and just like,
or it feels just gross, feeling the dread.
I dread something, like I don't, it's not true to me, you know.
I think I just got tired of like feeling that, stifling yourself, like, oh, just because this person's gonna be uncomfortable for a second because I say something that makes them feel uncomfortable, you know. And I feel like a lot of times the truth is, the funny thing is like when you are being authentic, no matter what, that person's going to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because you're a reflection to them. You're being authentic and they're like, wow, I could never be this vulnerable or authentic. So they're going to be triggered either way. So you might as well at least not trigger yourself.
I have a question for you, Pete.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of experiencing that on a, I think, a more intense level.
Yeah.
How do I want to frame this question?
Be authentic to yourself. And.
Yeah. How are you in the moment when you're being authentic? And you are aware that you're, say it's like a friend and you're in a friend group and you're aware that you're kind of triggering them at various levels.
See,
with your authenticity.
I already know where you're going, but like this thing actually kind of serves me because I feel like I enjoy triggering people sometimes.
Yeah, you lean in really hard to the offending people or whatever.
Yeah, where Kristen, I feel like you want to do the right thing. So you don't want to like, you don't want to always like do that, where I'm like, oh man, he feels this for sure. Like
I'm experiencing it more the way that you have always described it, Pete. And now I'm realizing in my own growth, I'm like, okay, I have to like incorporate some of the like just letting the trigger happen, because that actually is what needs to happen right now.
Yeah, but
I guess I'm
like,
trying to figure out where just navigating it.
See, I feel like I always looked at it too as like the people who can't be triggered by me won't come around me. You know, so like if the person is showing up, I'm serving my authentic version. Like if I'm fully authentic to who I am, I'm an antagonist no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I used to fight that a lot. Like I used to kind of like judge myself. Nah, like, oh, it's fun.
It's a fun place to be sometimes. I agree. Like yeah, it's sort of like the shitbaggery thing. Like it's like, sometimes you have to embrace the shit bag.
But that's your role.
Right.
Like if you're here to like on an energetic level, like, change things or, like, transmute things, like, you can't, it's like you can't, it's like you can't learn from anything if you're not getting triggered somehow. You know, like, oh, like, you have this trauma, I have this experience, and it triggers me by talking to you. Like, I'm not going to move that awareness if I'm not triggered. If you're just, like, in a constant state of homeostasis where nothing bothers you, then you're not really, like, figuring it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you also, like, can't, like, sorry. Go ahead.
No, like, everybody has their role. So, like, if you're being your authentic version of yourself, like, I think part of my role is to, like, push people into uncomfortable, like, scenarios where they, like, have to look at things.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the role of somebody who's trying to help people heal things. You know, if you're just like, everything's great.
Some way.
Yeah, like, everything's great. Don't look at this because it's going to mess you up. Like, then you're not really, like, helping people.
Yeah. You know? I've noticed it's almost like kind of on like an energetic level, even more so, or I guess I should just, my awareness has increased.
Yeah.
And it's like, they don't necessarily, like, they're just triggered and reacting.
Yeah.
And I'm having a full experience of, like, watching the trigger come in and what it is and what program it's triggering and what, and then just having to be like, just
seeing it, like, oh, go down the line, like, all, like, you're seeing the whole path of, like, this idea just, like, moving through someone and what comes out of their mouth after that, you know?
Yeah. And I'm watching which drunk monkey is going to drive the spaceship. And if it is a, and then if it's me, like, my connection to them, like, if they're my friend, then I've got to manage the part of me that also wants to go, like, you know, oh, I don't want to, you know, I want this person to like me. You know, I've kind of, like, managed that, my, like, the people pleaser aspect, or, you know, the part that wants to be very gentle. I just go, like, I feel this way.
See, the funny thing is, like, I feel like people like me because I'm the person that doesn't care if you like me. So
I'm learning to lean more into my peak qualities.
No, I know, but I mean, like, I mean, my friends know what they're getting when they're hanging out with me, whether, you know, I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to be the person who tells you how I really feel.
Yeah.
That, I like that, though. I like people like that. I know it doesn't work for everybody. Not everybody is looking for that kind of friend.
That's my autism trait. That's my, but, I need to, somebody to be, like, real clear.
Yeah. I mean, I like it because you can trust what that person says. Like, you know, you should be wary of friends who only tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah, like, is that a real connection? Like, well, not, are you having a, like, real relationship?
Here's my question. So you have that happening. I'm coming from this very authentic space, experiencing energy this way. I'm having, so it's a real connection on my end. What if that person is exactly what you're saying, just like a yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but you'll feel that, no? Like, I mean, it's like, look at, like, sex or, like, a partner. It's like, if your partner is like, oh, everything's great, you feel when it's not.
Yeah.
So why is it any different with a friendship? It's like, even if you're, you know, like, sex is the most intimate thing. So, like, if you're in that relationship, you're going to feel that they're not really, like, giving you the whole perspective. You might not understand what it is, but you're definitely going to feel when things aren't, like, authentic or real.
What if you get glimpses of the authentic version and they're telling you that they want to be, like, their authentic self, but then there's this whole, and they're, but they're just not aware of when they're being that other version, the people please, or, you know, the yes ma'am or whatever.
I like this question. I have thought about this because I feel like we all know people who, Like,
it's like, well, what do we owe to each other? I feel like.
Yeah, like you know, like we all know people who we think, like, I don't know, like, we have stories that we make up about them and we don't trust, like, who they really are, or we, I don't, you know what I mean? Or we can't tell, like, I don't know. I feel like I've had this experience where I just can't tell, like, who is the real you? Like, cause there's this person that I see sometimes that I love so much. And then there's this other person who's like, I don't know what kind of demon is, like, possessing you, but like, what,
yeah, but, like, what is, why you feed? See, my thing is, I was going to say is, like, my thing is, like, why are you feeding these relationships? Don't get me wrong. I do it too. I'm not saying I don't do it. But I'm saying, like, for example, like, I have a group of friends that I've had since I was in, like, the fifth grade. Right? And there's probably only one of them. That, say there's, like, five, six guys. There's probably only one of them that I still, like, really kind of resonate. And it's really... I don't resonate fully with him, but it's like we're kind of on, you know, we work similar jobs, we have similar beliefs, you know, but like we don't fully connect. Like I don't give him 100%, maybe I give him 75%, but I still love him because it's like a sentimental thing. But that group in general, like I really don't resonate with them anymore. Like totally like different pages, you know? Like,
yeah.
You meet up, they're talking about, like, the Jets and their favorite Netflix show. And I'm just like, the world's ending. You know, like, are you guys paying attention? God. You know, like, whatever. Yeah, so, like, yeah. I really don't hang out with them anymore. I haven't hung out with them in probably the group, probably 6 months. And then last week, I went to sushi with them. And I was just like, oh, you know, like, hanging out with them. And the whole time I'm there, I'm just like, you know, it's nice to see everybody, but it's like, I don't really resonate with these people. Like, why am I taking time
what to, like, if have you these, the like, guy I'm saying, like, the higher aspect, though? What if you are the
guy? Yeah, I mean,
not that
you play a role there.
Yeah, but I feel like that's, like, egotistical of me to think. I don't know. Like, I feel like if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. You know, like,
what if it feels good sometimes?
Yeah, no, I get that.
I feel like that's my question is, like, you know, yeah, just like when you don't, I feel like you just can't force people to be who you think they are. You have to,
yeah, but it's not your job to save anybody.
You're not always gonna know someone's full authentic.
Is it a question of giving and taking energetically then? Is that,
yeah, but why? Like, what, it's not your job to save them. Like,
I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying, like, there's,
yeah, but I think, like, if somebody's looking for a way out or looking for a change where they're actually going to be, like, more authentic and they want to, like, figure themselves out, they'll come find you.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to them. It's ego to think, like, I'm going to come, oh, I'm the highest vibration in this group. Like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, when I'm...
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I just think that, like, sometimes even... Okay, I think we do a lot of healing and work through our relationships with people, whether it's friendships or, like, even business. Like, people connect or are drawn to each other even when they're not, like, good or they don't bring out the best in each other, but there's something about, like, those dynamics that we need that mirror sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm just saying, like, even, like, negative relationships or people who, like, you don't really resonate with, you can feel drawn to or connected to anyway, and, like, there is something that you need to, like, experience with them. So, like, when you're, like, hanging out with your, like, buddies from, like, way back in the day, like, maybe there's something there that, like, you haven't completely disconnected from this group for some reason.
Oh yeah,
you're
still for sure
kind of a part of it, and you do connect with some of it. So, like, what is, you know, obviously there's something there that those relationships still are a part of your life. You know,
well, it's, like, funny because until going to sushi, I kind of wanted to go to sushi. But like, I was saying how like it's so weird that they don't even like I haven't really seen them because I feel like such a separation with them, you know, like just, you know, like they know what I do, like they kind of mock what I do in a little bit. And but on, you know, like a side note, sometimes like a random thing will come up where they'll talk to me about it or whatever. But like my one friend, his other friend killed himself and he hasn't really talked to me about it. And I offered, like, listen, you want to talk about it? I'm here. You know, like, I'll try to connect to the spiritual realm. I've actually given that guy a reading before from his grandpa. But, like, you know, they know what I do. They kind of mock what I do a little bit. And, you know, like, I don't know. I just don't know if you have to force it. Like, I think you just, like, whatever feels good and whatever flows to you flows. Like, there's people who were never into this type of stuff and have reached out to me over time and, you know, whatever. So, like, those people are seeking it. Like, if somebody's obviously not seeking it, like, it's not your job. I mean, I guess if you're around them in general, you're raising, if they're in a lower state and you're raising their frequency just by being with them. Yeah, but, I mean, I think that's a little egotistical to think, like, you're the answer, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe those people are serving a purpose being in the space that they're at, you know, like who's to say
what no, the plan what I'm is. Saying. I think you need those. Like, I mean, personally, I don't just want to, I don't know. I don't want to like agree or even resonate with everything. Like, I like people who are different than I am. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, so even if you're not like, I mean, I can't be my authentic self all the time. Like, I feel like I can be. It depends on like the arena we're talking yeah. about, but like the part of my life, like whatever, but I don't know. Yeah. I just think I like people who are different than me. I don't know if we ever answered Kristen, or like did you I come know. To any kind of answer, Kristen? Or maybe you can ask it in a way actually, that like, because I thought it was an interesting question, but I feel like we also like talked around it a lot without getting anywhere.
I don't want to disturb the flow, but I have to pick up my son, Joey.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, can I leave it on and you guys could talk?
Well, we are at an hour and a half, but yeah, I don't know. Do you have any like last thoughts on that or I don't know.
I mean, I feel like all of the conversation, you know, it's all kind of trying to figure out, it's all in the same energy, trying to get eyes on it a little bit, you know, and see if we can articulate what it is that clearly we're all having like a variety of experiences around. And it's mm-hmm. part of this, I think it is part of this, you know, stepping into any kind of role that is interacting with another person, like a relationship yeah. at all, and figuring out, you know, because that's going to shift and change, because now we're in a place of viewing those, all this energy from different perspectives, higher perspectives or wherever. And it just shifts everything. And I guess I'm in a space of kind of contemplation of what's the new rules? What's the new navigation system on relationships? You're
always updating the software
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah. I'm in a software update. That is yeah. what I am experiencing.
Yeah, but like
I'm not having a mental breakdown. I'm
not a mental breakdown. I'm having a software update.
See, but I think it goes back to like originally what we were talking about is like I think it's the responsibility as the individual to be sovereign in their own way.
Yeah.
So sovereignty is like not allowing somebody else to kind of move you into that space. It's your responsibility to kind of work yourself into yeah. that space.
Yeah. I think that is kind of a good answer, though. Like, it's not about like anything outside of you. It's really like, what are you doing with?
Yeah. So if like those people don't want to move into that space, then that's their responsibility.
Yeah. And you know, I think we all want, like, we want our space and our freedom. So, like, you have to give that to others. It's only fair. And it's just, it's hard. I think most people are fucking controlling. And when they can't, like, control certain things, they go and they try to control other people and other things. Like, it's like, no one can just mind their business.
That because is
mind your out of fucking control. Business. That's the answer. That's the rule of thumb. Mind your fucking business.
Mind your business.
Worry about yourself. That's the golden rule. I think that's, in all honesty, I feel like that is the best rule. And I learned that a long time ago when I was a young kid working with my father. Anytime I asked questions, he was always like, worry about yourself. And that's it.
That's
and I feel like I've always lived by that rule, to be honest.
But if we weren't up in each other's business, like, I don't know.
Well, that's the thing that
I feel like you got to pick your times. Like, when do you really
because you're comparing. Like, being in, like, worrying about other people is like you're comparing. It's like you're reinforcing the duality, or you're reinforcing the difference between each other. You know, if you're comparing, but if you're just like looking at yourself and like looking at what you're doing, then you're sovereign. You're responsible for yourself, and you're worried about what's going on in your life and how
you're not
going to
be so impacted by other people.
How better you could serve the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's complete.
Well, thank you, Kristen, for being here.
Yeah, thanks for being with us.
This is going to be an ongoing conversation, I feel like, as I mean, hopefully we can do this again.
Yeah.
I'm always down. I love getting a chance to hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Always love to chat.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Take care, everybody.
See y'all later.
Bye.